The following program is brought to you in living color.
To Homeland! Stop! In our country we have great tradition. Change glasses.
Change glasses.
To Homeland!
To Homeland! Stop! In our country, we have a custom. We always change glasses, too.
Now, everybody drink!
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about that cute, adorable, squishy little grape. And we are just literally on fire today. It's been warm. It's been hot. It has definitely pushed us to our frazzled end. So I have great faith that today is going to be a fun show. Even Kent looks like he's awake and paying attention for a change.
I am back. I am ready to go.
You are ready to rumble, aren't you?
I spent some time taking my daughter to her college campus earlier this week.
And how'd that go?
I needed a big glass of wine after I saw the cost.
Well, I can imagine that, but think about it, too. You know, she's young. I'm sure there's some great wine bars and wine stores up there.
I'm sure she'll do fine.
And I'm sure she'll be well acclimated with them very, very soon.
Probably so.
That ought to help you a lot. Well, that's exactly what I have been doing over the last 3 weeks, is I have been wandering around different parts of the country, checking out different wine stores, wine bars, and wine shops, and just seeing what is new and different, because I don't know about you, this time of the year, things seem to get stagnant. You get tired of the same old, same old. So in light of that, I have two interesting wine recommendations this week. For the white, I decided to go across the pond and go to Italy. I don't know if it's just because I love Italy so much. If you see all those pictures of the great Italian countryside with all the sun-baked terracotta and the pretty ochre tones. But it comes to summertime and it comes to light whites, Italy definitely comes to mind. Recommendation this week is Antinori Vermentino Guado al Tasso. Now, a lot of you out there will recognize the Guado al Tasso. The true wine aficionados will say, oh, that's that amazing red wine. But actually, this Vermentino is white. And what's great about Vermentino, it has the pretty yellow color that you would come to associate with the Sauvignon Blanc, has some greenish hue to it. But what's great, it's fruity, it's tropical, it's tangy, it's kind of a fruit cocktail in a glass. And because it all balances out well, it's got some great acidity on the finish. So when you're looking, Antinori does a great Vermentino. They're a little hard to find occasionally in the States. You're going to pay anywhere from $12 to $14 for this, but it's definitely well worth it because, once again, it goes back to what we discussed on a previous show. It goes great with any kind of seafood you're going to throw on the grill, you're going to bake, or at this point you could just set it outside and it would cook in 10 minutes. This wine is going to balance anything you want to do. So there is your white recommendation. Now, for reds, it's hard for me this time of year to start bouncing around with reds because the first question anyone asks me always is, Laura, how come all your red wine is in the refrigerator? So before I even get off on the topic of picking our red wine recommendation this week, I want to go ahead and reassert what I say this time every year. If you are taking your red wine from the counter and serving it on the dinner table and not putting it in a refrigerator, you're doing it wrong. I know people say that red wine shouldn't be chilled, but think about this. Everyone you talk to who is a professional in the industry is going to tell you one way or the other, red wine should be room temperature. I have news for you. Room temperature is not 75 degrees. The ideal serving point for a red wine is about 65 degrees, and I don't know about you, I don't feel like paying those air conditioning bills, so it's really not worth it to me. So before whatever red wine you decide you're going to pour, throw it in the chill chest for about 20 minutes. It'll make it round out the meal better, it'll cut some of the alcohol, and you can also really sense that wine blossom as you get through your dinner. So having said that, your red wine recommendation, I'm also going to go a little off the beaten path. I think I may have done a Carmenere on the program before, but I'm definitely going to do another one. Mont Gras Carmenere. Now, Carmenere is kind of a lost grape. People don't really think that much about it. They kind of, oh, what was that? Well, Montgrasse has amazing ability because what they have is they have a whole bunch of vines that came over from France pre-phylloxera. So these vines were planted so that, obviously, the whole wine empire could expand with the French. And in doing so, they really have salvaged what these great Bordeaux-oriented wines were. And now when I say Bordeaux-oriented, it is the great lost wine of Bordeaux. You do find Carmenere all over Languedoc. You find it definitely in the Rhone. But this is something, it's rich, it's fruity. And for the longest time, this grape was mistaken for Merlot. So this is your recommendation, Montgrasse Carmenere. It's got all the best of everything we advocate. Plus, once again, it falls in that category of any kind of beef you're going to put on the grill, any of the notorious PIG you're going to put on the grill. It definitely blends in and balances that meal out perfectly. So there we go. I got off the beaten track today. I found two unique whites, and I've stayed away from Chardonnay for 2 weeks in a row.
Wow, look at you.
Well, there's kind of a bet going on.
What's that?
Well, some of my good friends and I got together and they said, Laura, we realize you're the Chardonnay queen, but we're really sick to death of hearing about all your Chardonnays. That they bet me I couldn't go on for 1 month and not absolutely insist on recommending a Chardonnay.
And this is your first week?
No, I did not recommend a Chardonnay last week.
Okay, second week then.
So I have two more weeks to go, and it's not a problem because I'm actually enjoying drinking outside the box.
Yeah. Now, where did you get this notion that room temperature is 65 degrees?
Well, apparently anytime I come in the studio, room temperature is 50 degrees or go yeah. As I run around in my socks. I have people make fun of me because they see me coming into the building and in my purse I have two pairs of socks, a scarf, and a jacket.
Yeah.
And it's 98 degrees outside and I'm running around in cute little sundresses but bringing an entire wardrobe.
Well, that's because
change.
The studio doubles as a meat locker. But, I mean, 65 degrees, that seems a bit chilly for room temperature, even for Nanook of the North.
I think when it comes down to it, it's cellar temperature. You look at the traditions of how wine served for years and years and years. It's just how things were done for ages. And when you looked back in France and you looked in Italy and you looked in Germany and obviously in Champagne, when they dug these caves to make their cellars or in their castles when they had their cellars, they're underground, they're in a cooler climate. And so there was a constant temperature, even out in Napa Valley. If you're fortunate enough to go on any of the tours out there, whether it's Farniente, whether it's Donna, whether it's Jarvis, the moment you take a deep breath and walk into their caves and walk into their cellars, it's literally at least a 25-degree temperature difference. And that's not because they have these great air machines pumping cold air into it. It's just the dirt. It's the nature of being underground. So I think that's where the idea of room temperature, cellar temperature came from, and it's just something we adhere to today.
Mm, okay.
Why, Kent? What do you think room temperature is?
Oh, I would have guessed somewhere around 70.
Yeah, no. Colder is better.
Isn't there debate in the wine community among this about this?
Debate? No. Flat out argument? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You find sommeliers from different courses and different aspects all arguing on different things. They really usually argue, though, on the temperature of the white wine more so than the red wine.
Yeah.
I think if you polled 100 wine professionals, 90 of them would say 62 to 65 is an ideal serving temperature. Some may go up, some may go down, depending on what region you are drinking from, and we would never do that to our listeners. But truthfully, if you want to be very, very specific about it, depending on whether you're drinking a California Cabernet, a Bordeaux, a Burgundy, a Rhone, a young red, an old red, an aged red, a tannic red, there actually are different temperatures that are recommended based on your style of wine. Good luck with that. My refrigerator has one setting. My Eurocave has one setting, and it's going to be that temperature. But white wine is generally where people get in their arguments because every time I have dined out with this one particular master sommelier, and I love him with all my heart. He is a great personality. He's wonderful. He's very, very well known. One of the first things he does is complain, well, number one, about the fact that I'm ordering Chardonnay, but number two, that it's too cold. And he'll sit there and he'll literally stare at that glass for 15 or 20 minutes while it warms up to what he expects the acceptable temperature to be.
And you like this person?
I do, because while he's sitting there waiting on that glass to warm up, I've gotten to have three of the glasses. So it really doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. If he wants to be picky about it, I don't care.
You get most of the bottle that way. That's good.
I do. See, you don't just have to be old and amazing to work through things. Well, we do have a nice show lined up for you today, as I've got enough on rambling. We have Mr. Kevin Boyer with Lot 18 joining us later to talk about procurement for wine for Lot 18. And I have an interesting question for him. Kevin has a great sommelier background, so we're going to put him on the rack, so to speak, and ask him a really interesting question that we're going to discuss in the next segment. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we return, your calls, your emails, and everything that makes the crush the crush.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And as I mentioned before the break, we are fortunate. We are going to have Kevin Boyer. He is the procurement director of Lot 18 join us on the show today. But as much as he is involved with Lot 18, I knew Kevin Boyer when he was with Ruth Chris and a couple other restaurants. And I cannot wait to talk to him. Because after all, if you're a loyal listener, you know that the show is all about you. We want your calls. We want your emails. And for those of you who have not done so, 877-4CRUSH-1 or Laura Lawson at winecrush.com. Now, we have a very loyal listener who did write us an email. And I have to admit, when I read the email the first time, I thought, that's interesting. And then I went back and I read it a couple more times, and it started me thinking. Now, we love all kind of emails and all kind of questions here on The Crush, but it is very, very rare that I find something that I feel the need to poll people with. So I'm going to read the email, I'm going to give my response, but then I'm going to go into all the fun discussions we've had about this. The email is from Sale Milne, and I hope I got your name right. Laura, recently really enjoyed the most recent episode about wine lists and restaurants. Along that topic, I have a question. What is the rule on tipping sommeliers? I live in New York City and on occasion have the opportunity to go to higher-end restaurants. The sommeliers are always so helpful and spend a gracious amount of time answering questions and helping me find the best bottle. Does one tip the sommelier separately? Is it incorporated into the bill as the tip would be for your regular server? What is the best way to show appreciation for the sommelier? Thanks. Now, this seems on surface to be a very straightforward question. It's cut and it's dried. You think about the time that you go out and you go to restaurants. 15% is the accepted gratuity. If you have a great experience, you might tip 20%. So you'd think when it came to sommelier service that there'd be hard and fast rules. Well, of course, I read the email along with several others, and I thought, well, you know, that's pretty simple. If I go out, I sit down at a table, sommelier comes over, talks to me, recommends a bottle of wine, I'm going to tip the sommelier. I'm going to tip him 20% of whatever that bottle cost. Now, my husband has been in the restaurant business on and off his whole life, so regardless of whatever I give the sommelier, when our bill comes, he also tips the waiter on the meal and on the wine. So I guess in essence, you could look at it, we're tipping 40% of what that bottle of wine cost. It's very rare for us to run into a sommelier. Oftentimes, by the time I get done talking and drinking, the sommelier sits down. So we really take up a sommelier's time. So on the surface, once again, this was a really easy question for me to answer. Until my husband got nosy as I was preparing for the show and kind of looked over my shoulder. And he's like, well, how are you going to answer that? And I said, well, here's how I'm going to answer it. You know, I tip 20% to a sommelier, you tip the waiter, and we're done. And he looked at me and he said, well, you're wrong. And this is how those wonderful debates start in any household, in any endeavor, anytime a male and a female are going to get together and have a discussion. For the record, for the men listening out there, the direct way to approach it, well, you're wrong, not a good place to start, not the good first foot. No, no, don't do that. But anyway, it went downhill from there. He's like, bottom line is, the way most restaurants work these days, sommeliers are part of the management staff. I said, so what difference does that make? He's like, well, they're employed by the restaurant to give the restaurant a higher level of service so the diner will come back and have a great experience. So there is no need to tip the sommelier. There's just the need to tip the waiter and tip on the wine. And I looked at him and I said, you're insane. He's like, no, you just drive sommelier nuts, which is why you tip them 20%. I said, no, that has nothing to do with it. So past the fact that I'm not going to devolve into the whole conversation, I picked up the phone over the next 3 days and I called two master sommeliers. I called director of resorts for a big hotel chain. I called director of restaurants for a massive restaurant chain. Some of the biggest names you can ask for in dining in New York, in California, in LA. And I did hit the big cities because I thought this is going to be interesting. And of course, with my background, I have run into a lot of interesting characters. I even called a couple of winemakers since they're the people a lot of times going out and entertaining. Long and short of it is I talked to 12 different people about the answer to what do you tip a sommelier? I have received 12 different answers, and I have been told I was entirely wrong 11 times. So this is what I pose to you, our listener. We're going to have some fun with this question. What do you think is how you tip and how you handle a sommelier. You've heard how I said it. You've heard that I will tip the sommelier and I will tip the waiter. But what do the majority of people do? 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. What I have found most interesting about this is when we have wine questions, or you, the listener, as whether it's an initiate or whether it's the aficionado as a wine person, there's generally a hard and fast answers. What is a Rhone? What is Bordeaux? What is Burgundy? What is grown among the Loire? How many AVAs are there in California? 90% of the time, we can quantify wine knowledge. We can give you concretes. The other 10% of the time with wine, it is exactly the opposite. It is a patter of opinions. Oh, I like Chevalier Montrachet better than Sassagne Montrachet. Or I like California Northern Chardonnays better than Southern Chardonnays. Everyone has an opinion. Now, this is the first time I have seen wine professionals diametrically, hostily opposed to each other and arguing about it. So I do really, really want to know what you think. I think one of the best analogies I heard this after out of a sommelier of a major steakhouse out of New York City. He's like, Laura, the best way I can explain it to you, that would be like not tipping your valet. If you don't tip the sommelier, think about when you pull up to a restaurant, you give the valet your car keys. Do you just automatically not tip him because it's part of the restaurant service? No, you don't. You don't want anything to happen to your car. You want it to be there when you return. You want to make sure the valet is well taken care of. The sommelier should be viewed in the same exact way. They're not there because they have to be. They are up talking to you because they want to be. They're performing a service that's over and above what happens in the restaurants. So I thought that was the best analogy I could ask for. But like I said, I heard the whole gamut from no, you don't tip the sommelier because they're management staff, to yes, you tip the sommeliers because most sommeliers are working only on tips. They might get a token waiters, but obviously they expect to be tipped on the wine. So this has been such a cataclysmic question that I want to hear from each and every one of you. And like I said, with Kevin Boyer being a sommelier, I'm going to get him on this too and see what his opinion on it. So Sale, thank you very, very much for your question. I have not had this much fun in a couple of years, at least as many, this many arguments. Once again, call us 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Quick break right here, and then we'll get Kevin Boyer on the line to talk about Lot 18 and, of course, the question we just posed to you.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings!
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings!
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings. Savings!
Much
savings.
Better.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
This is The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, I had the pleasure of introducing Mr. Kevin Boyer. He is one of the procurement directors for Lot 18, the exclusive unmatched deal website that can match you up with some of your favorite wine. Kevin, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you, Laura. What a great introduction.
Oh, well, thank you. It's nice to have you on the show. It obviously, we have loved everyone we have discussed Lot 18 with, and of course the people from your company. But see, what you don't realize is you're also getting ambushed. You and I have known each other in a former life when you were with Ruth Chris, and
Absolutely.
Famous or infamous always comes to mind when it comes to me. So I just didn't know if that would be a good relationship or a bad relationship. But regardless,
always good, Laura.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Well, also, we were talking in the earlier segment about a question I want to pose to you if I can keep you on longer than we had promised, because I'm going to tap into your old sommelier background, if that's okay with you.
Certainly is.
All right. Well, you have done some amazing things in the wine business. Why don't you give our listeners an overview of how you came to be a procurement director for Lot 18?
Absolutely. Wow. So, you know, I've always been one of the lucky ones. I've always known that wine was going to be my career, my passion, my love. Family growing up in the Northeast owned a beverage marketing company. So I had the rare pleasure and experience of always having winemakers around the house, wine dinners at an early age, being exposed to the joys of wine. So I always knew that I had a passion and love for it.
So you were insane early on.
I've been insane my entire life, Laura.
Outstanding.
Very early on, joined a restaurant business, was a sommelier for a private country club at 16 years old, not even old enough to drink the wine, but making recommendations. Through that, was a sommelier down for an entirely Pacific Northwest-themed wine list down at Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. As you well know, after that, joined Ruth Chris Steakhouse, worked my way up through the vice president of beverage for that company. Then got really insane back in 2008 and started my own wine project with my business partner, Tom Stefanzi, a winery called Buoyancy. So left Ruth Chris to do that and had been focused on my wine project for the past couple of years. had the distinct pleasure of meeting Philip James late last year, who told me about this vision for Lot 18 and the goal to change the way Americans think about and buy wines, and just absolutely fell in love with what they were doing, and was lucky enough to get on board early and get to be a part of what we're doing here.
What a great and diverse background. We talked to so many people on The Crush, not that there's anything bad with it, who have either been in retail or been in winemaking or wine developing their whole life, but you've definitely run the whole gamut, from waiting to serving to making to now selling and creating.
Jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah.
I like the way you look at it. Got to ask it, though, which has been your favorite part of it? Out of everything you've done, what would you go back and do one more time?
Yeah, you know, I would say there's not a bad thing on the historical license there. Certainly love what I'm doing now. You know, honestly, I've spent the, it's such a political answer, I realize, but I've spent my entire career trying to help people take the pretense out of wine. So honestly, still being involved in my wine project is great, and I love every bit of that, but the ability to interact with people on a daily basis, get them connected to wineries, that they wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to meet and see and turn them on to these exciting new projects is great. I mean, it's, I feel like I'm a sommelier again in a restaurant where I feel like I'm introducing people to something new and exciting. It's making them ultimately better educated, happier, better wine consumers, and I absolutely love it. So while I love all of the stages, probably easiest to say my current position of Lot 18 has been the best so far.
Well, you and I have always gotten along, and I love hearing you actually admit that your goal all along is to help people find wines and to make themselves comfortable with it. So it's not pretentious. So they find something, and you hope somewhere what you turn them onto, they can become as passionate about that wine as you and I have been in our careers. So I definitely understand that aspect of what you're doing. But I've got to ask this question just because it's asked of me a lot. The open of the Wine Crush obviously has me characterized as the Chardonnay sipping diva. And when it comes down to it, is Chardonnay my favorite varietal and favorite portion of the wine? Most likely, yes. I have developed into that. That is something I have run the gamut of. But invariably, I make an effort to try and be open-minded when I'm recommending wines or working with people on wine list projects or working with them on retail sets to try and point them into finding a balance. Ultimately, though, people can come behind me and point out, saying, Laura, there's not a wine in that set you wouldn't personally drink. I'm like, well, of course not. Why would I recommend bad wine? So being director of procurement for Lot 18, how do you keep your personal opinions separate from what, even though if you aren't a big Carmenere fan, how do you find yourself capable of recommending a Carmenere for everybody to enjoy and drink?
Hey, and by the way, I love Carmenere. It's a great question. No, and honestly, I would really say back in the Ruth Chris days, really where you, I really had to focus most on that, ensuring that we weren't building. I think the trap a lot of wine professionals run into is they're building wine lists for themselves as much as for the consumer, when in reality it's the end consumer that we need to be building these things for. So yeah, when the team is out there meeting with wineries, going through old vintages, different varietals, whether it's Carmenere or Bolliagiaia, things that don't necessarily get out there much. The goal is always, we like to create a diverse group of wines for a wide base of consumers. The reality is we have to be very, very honest and very front-facing with our editorial. I can remember a trio of extremely aged Zinfandels from Sonoma that we offered on Lot 18 about 4 or 5 months ago, and quite honestly, it's just a very, very unique wine. Still really good. May not be for everybody, and quite honestly, we were very honest in our notes to say, this wine is probably not for everybody. It's aged Zinfandel. It's, you know, got these really odd, mushroomy, weird things going on. But for those of you who are into different and unique and want to experience and try something new, this may be perfect for you.
Well, see, that's great that Lot 18 gives you the luxury to do it. And that's what I was trying to pull out, is there's a group of you that go through and you comment on the different wines. So anybody can go in and read everyone's opinions, professions about what they're drinking. And it's not censored. It's not pigeonholed. It's not just the good stuff. It's not like the blurb on a book where they just cut out the nice things that people say.
It isn't. And honestly, I've never worked with a more diverse, educated and great group of wine people that have here at Lot 18. Unlike any other company I've ever been involved in, certainly in the online space, the procurement team actually lives in the areas of the world where we procure the wines. There's two master sommelier candidates in the Northern California team, a gentleman who was a sommelier, top sommelier in Los Angeles for the last 27 years, Ted Farthing in Oregon, used to be the head of the Oregon Wine Commission. These are true wine experts that are literally digging through the cellars of these famed wineries and finding these deals. So it's great that, one, they're trusted sources. They're people who are a wide range of backgrounds in consumer relationship and knowing what consumers like, but more importantly, have the ability to get out there and let the consumers try something new. So it's a great team. Extremely honest and front-facing with their editorials, but ultimately trying to build that experience level for the end consumer.
Well, what's great is you hit the nail on the head, and I think this is why we've seen so much press about Lot 18 and their success, is the simple fact is that the people we have talked with that are on the procurement team or involved in Lot 18, they aren't coming from the annals of wine critics. They aren't coming from the halls where I have created this masterpiece in wine. They have actually spent a lifetime selling wine to people. Because that's Absolutely. A lot of times where the major disconnect is and all the different portions we find in the wine world is if you haven't sold it, then you can't truly appreciate it. Hey, Kevin, if you don't mind, we got to take a quick break right here, but I'd love to hold you over and talk a little bit more about this concept and then, of course, blindside you with my strange question.
Sounds great.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, more of Mr. Kevin Boyer with Lot 18.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
I'm sitting at midcourt, and the last time around, the wave took out half of my Coke, and it's coming again. We, the fans, must stop this wave and protect our Coke. It's still coming. Cheerleaders, fire the t-shirt guns. Buzzer guy, distract them with buzzing. Wolf, howl. Hold on! Looks like we did it. Nice job, everybody.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. They'll get better grades, make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, we had the pleasure of talking with Mr. Kevin Boyer of Lot 18. Kevin, are you still with us?
I sure am.
Okay, before we took the quick break, you had hit on something that I just love, and maybe it's because of my dark past life, but it seems to me a lot of times, whether it's online wine retailers or whether it's people who are selling out of catalogs or selling out of their garage or off their websites, these people are putting together, oh, you must have this wine. You've simply got to taste it. But yet these people are experts in e-commerce. They are experts in web links. They are experts in growing wine or developing wine. And Lot 18 seems to be the first group of people they've put together that have a background in selling directly. And I don't think that unless you have sold directly to the public, you understand listening skills and how to read what someone's truly looking for. Do you agree or disagree with that comment?
I completely agree. You know, the way I like to think of it, me and the entire team, what we do is we create relationships directly between the wineries and these consumers. But quite honestly, we think of ourselves as concierges for the consumer. We realize they can't get to wine country three times a week, you know, even three times a year in most cases. So we want to be their advocate, their trusted resource that can actually be here. And hopefully they have find some similar voice to what we're saying and drinking and doing. But we want to be their feet on the street. We want to be working for them. So I agree, though. You have to have been dealing with consumers in this space for a long time to understand what the needs are, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with, let's face it, White Zinfandel, all the way up through, you know, the odd varietals from around the world. Every product has a niche as long as it's quality product.
Everybody has a home. There's just no two ways around it. Everybody's going to like something different than someone else has. I have yet to meet two people with an identical palate, so it's silly to even try to sell to everyone like they're identical.
Yep.
Well,
absolutely.
Kevin, here's where I kind of want to get off tangent. I mean, obviously our listeners know I'm a fan of Lot 18. If nothing else, just because of the type of people I am starting to see that do their procurements, it sounds really blunt, but bottom line is I know y'all have some sense, so that does help. But secondly,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Because I do know you have some sense, when you go back and you listen to the show, our first segment stemmed from a caller, or rather a listener email that sent a question in. And because you spent so much time as a sommelier, I have actually found one of the most divisive questions I have ever asked anybody in the wine business. You know, I said earlier, there's usually concrete answers or opinions. There is never something that's in the middle. So I'm going to run this one by you, and I want your honest gut reaction. Our listener asked the question, what is the rule on tipping sommeliers? I live in New York City and on occasion have the opportunity to go to the higher-end restaurants. The sommeliers are always so helpful and spend a gracious amount of time answering my questions. Does one tip the sommelier separately, or is it incorporated into the bill as a tip would be for your regular server? Kevin, in all your years of being a sommelier, how do you tip and handle the sommelier?
Yep, you're right. It's a very divisive question. My gut reaction is for a restaurant that has a specific sommelier, if that sommelier has provided you detailed, organized, and thoughtful suggestions and service, that absolutely they should be compensated to whatever level the consumer is comfortable with, above and beyond. To some degree, sommeliers, like most servers, are involved in usually some tip pool, so they will usually get some, in most cases, some sort of compensation from the overall tip. Above and beyond that, though, again, I think like any service, if it's organized, well thought out, and high touch service, then yeah, absolutely, sommelier should be rewarded for that. If they merely came by and opened a bottle of wine for you, I could understand why most consumers wouldn't want to pay extra for that service.
Well, it does make sense, and it doesn't even begin to touch on the whole concept of Miss Oprah Winfrey herself stepping up and saying she doesn't tip on wine. We don't even want to go down that avenue, but
absolutely not,
Kevin. Seriously, I asked too many because it started because my husband's in the restaurant business, and I've been in the wine business since I don't know Moses lost his sandals. So we both had different opinions on it, and I thought, well, we're supposed to be experts. Let me call the other experts: two master sommeliers, two director of beverages hotel worldwide, two director of steak chain houses, and everybody had a different answer, and then everybody told me I was wrong. So since you were the poor soul that I had known both from the restaurant side and as an exceptional sommelier, I wanted to put you on the spot. Most people I talked to said that sommeliers today were considered management of restaurants, that they were not simply service providers, and as such, that they were given a salary. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
I both agree and disagree, actually. If it's a manager in the most chain, coming from the Ruth Chris Steakhouse in the chain restaurant world, in that scenario, yes, most of the quote-unquote sommeliers are not a unique staff position. It's a manager performing a function. So in that case, if it's part of that role, then I would say then tipping probably isn't as appropriate. I would say for restaurants outside of the chain world that have a specifically designated sommelier, it probably is more accepted. Again, from a consumer-facing standpoint, how do you tell which is which? And that's probably a question I'm not equipped to answer.
Well, none of us are. That's why I encourage you now to all your procurement directors and all the people you work with. If you want to have some fun, open up two bottles of wine, get them together, and start that argument. It will get heated. So there you go. There's my advice to you for today if you ever feel like arguing with anybody.
I love a good argument. I will absolutely take you up on that.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being part of the Crush today. It's obviously just great to talk to you, but to hear about Lot 18 and what you're doing and all the great things that you are offering up to our listeners and consumers, it's just nice to know that we have a safe outlet where we can shop for wine.
Thanks so much, Laura. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Hey, quick break take here care. On the Crush, and when we return, we will sum up this great service quandary and, of course, look ahead to our next show.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Convenient? You could say that.
Lots of branches, lots of ATMs, online, on your phone. When it comes to ways to bank, Bank of America's got it covered.
With so many ATMs, I can do my banking anytime, anywhere. There's one right by work.
I've got a Bank of America near my gym.
There's one near my home, near where the kids play soccer.
I like to do my banking online. Pay my bills, set up alerts. It's fast, secure.
I'm more of a mobile person. With Bank of America's mobile app, I can use my smartphone to transfer funds, check my balances, right here in the grandstands during a yellow flag.
Bank whenever, wherever, however you want. With Bank of America, the official bank of NASCAR. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com.
Requires enrolling in online banking. Carrier fees may apply. Online bill pays and optional service alerts not available in Idaho or Washington. Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc., copyright 2011, HGJ Licensing, LLC.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at Z-Max.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Thank you.
You're listening to Laura Lawson and the Wine Crush. Special thank you today going out to Kevin Boyer. He is procurement director for Lot 18, and he was our sommelier on the street, on the spot, giving us answers to our questions. But I do want to reiterate, I want to hear what you think, especially on this, because once again, if 11 people can get together and not come up with a concrete answer that does not involve screaming four-letter words and the words, "Do you have any sense in your head?" then it's got to be some kind of fragmented answer for everybody. Why can't we all just come up with a set standard? That's what I'd love to do. I want your thoughts, your emails, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or email me, Laura Lawson at winecrush.com, on the overall thought of what to tip, how to tip, when to tip, or if to tip your sommelier. So see, we do take your questions to heart. We can find themes. We can find ways to torment people with them. But ultimately, I do want to point something out. And it's very imperative, especially living in the United States, where we are a service-driven country. You get what you pay for. And that's something that you need to keep in mind, whether you are in your restaurant, your dry cleaner, your grocery store, your butcher shop, your meat market, or whether you're going down even a farmer's market. Ultimately, if you reward the people who are helping you and are working with you, not only do you have this nice warm, fuzzy feeling, but you can rest assured that the next time you go back and seek advice, whether it's from a sommelier or in someone else of a position of expertise, that you're going to get rewarded with good advice again. This goes into building relationships. For those of you who are dining in restaurants with sommeliers, a sommelier can be your best friend. They can guide you through so many different worlds of wine, teach you so much about wine, all by pouring it drop by drop, glass by glass. So in essence, are you really tipping somebody for doing a job well done? I don't think so. What I think you're doing is you're paying for a wine education. You are paying to enhance what you know. And by enhancing what you know in the wine world, then you're just making your dining experience, what you find you like, just a little bit more wider, a little broader, and a little bit more in depth. So take that to heart next time you see your favorite sommelier. Well, as always, here at The Crush, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.